This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final kneel down of the game. Don't need to snap the ball again. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30, New Orleans Saints 20. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucs are the team. And we have defeated the New Orleans Saints, our nemesis, over the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, there you go, Bedard. Suck on that. As promised, right to your telephone calls. Jeff in Needham. What do you got, Jeff?
Yeah, hi. Would the GOAT still be the greatest if he played in football when Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, and the Chicago Bears defense was roaming the field?
Yeah. Yeah, I think his game would translate.
Look, so what are we saying? Brady's not tough? He can't throw with a guy in his face? Is that the deal?
I mean, the game was more of a pocket game there anyway, or a game management game from the quarterback position anyway. Like, I don't know what the point of that is.
I mean, I honestly don't know.
With you, Felger.
Yeah, I don't know what the caller's getting at. Here's what I do know. The guy's been to 14 conference championship games, 9 Super Bowls, and he's won 6 of them. I don't care who you're playing against when. And the facts are the facts.
And also, he's kind of played through different eras as it is. I mean, maybe not going back to the 80s and the Lawrence Taylor, you know, like the thing you're talking about, but the league was a different league when he started winning a championship. So he's won in different styles. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John. Jonathan! Okay, babe, you can call us back. Our buddy Chris is in Raynham. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, guys. It's a shame that it took to year 2021 when you guys have been under the ear there since 2009 for you guys to realize how good Tom Brady is. I've been waiting for this show for roughly about 12 years. And now, Felger, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about Brady coming into Lambeau. This worked out even better than I ever thought it would be, because this will basically end Aaron Rodgers' last real, real good opportunity at winning a Super Bowl. So I have a friendly proposal for you. If Tom Brady beats your Packers the Tuesday after of the bye week in between the Super Bowl, I get 5 minutes with Bedard, and we do a three-up of the top three best moments of Tom Brady's career. That's a boring week. That's a boring week in between Super Bowl week. After you guys talk about anything, we get the top three moments. We each get one. And if they don't win, I will make a donation to your favorite charity, Christmas in the City.
Okay. So I'll just make a donation to Christmas in the City. I don't need to put Jeff for three up, three down. What do you say? How do you feel about
it? I'd rather sniff glue than do that.
Right. How come I don't get to play?
What if Rodgers and the Packers win this game, Chris? What will that say about Brady? What will that say about anything?
It's a lame point, but I tend to agree that at this point it doesn't matter. He's done everything that he could, but I think it's what it says about Rodgers more. A few years ago, you weren't always on this Rodgers bandwagon that he struggles, that he tries to manipulate the plays, that he doesn't listen to coaching.
Oh, well,
you had Rodgers up there above Brady.
He was better than
this is what it says.
He was better than Brady a couple of years ago. This is another thing. Like, whoops. Oh, I'm sorry for actually watching the games and paying attention. You think Brady's been the best every single year, week in, week out, year in, year out for 20 years? You don't think guys have played better than him over stretches of time? Yeah, baby, Chris. Come on. And I have this awful habit of actually just watching, and then my commentary reflects what happened. I just have this uncomfortable thing of telling it like I see it. I'm sorry. Rodgers was better for a couple of years in there. He was. And then he reverted. God dang. Isn't that annoying?
A couple years ago you said
Rodgers was better. Yeah, a couple years ago he was better. Sorry, he was. Whoops, sorry. I mean, not my fault, but he was. I mean, it happens every now and then. A couple years ago, Mahomes was better, too. A couple years ago, you said Mahomes was better because he was better. Yeah, he was. Sorry, anyone. Sorry. You did. And I'm sorry, Greg. The Bills are winning, and they're in the AFC title game. And I'm sorry, Patriots, Bobos, but Brady's back in the AFC title game, and you suck. Those are facts. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Like, I'm not going to just stick to my opinion that I had 5 years ago because I had the opinion 5 years ago. Teams win and lose and players play well or poorly in between, for crying out loud.
I'll tell you what. I can't decide which of the last two calls was more irritating. The guy who says, yeah, do you think he'd have been as good against Lawrence Taylor? Or the guy who says, I've been listening 11 years. It took 11 years for you guys to admit Brady was good. Really? 11 years? We never once said Brady was good.
Yeah, no, he sucks. Oh, God. Tony and Stoneham, go.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Listen, Bill, you think because Brady didn't have amazing stats that it wasn't his game Sunday. You got to understand something. He took advantage of what the defense gave him.
Take it up with Greg.
They gave him the ball where they gave it to him, and he executed. You know, it could have been... It wouldn't have been Cam Newton. If it was Cam Newton, yeah, you can say that because he fumbles, he throws interceptions, and whatever. And, you know, it's very easy to nitpick a play here, a play there from an all-pro and say that they did this wrong, that wrong, or whatever. But his record will never, never be touched.
Okay, well, again, we're
arguing. I mean,
that.
Tony, yeah. I mean, you know, who else could have went 18 of 33 for 199 yards in that game? I mean... Jeez. I mean, obviously, he's the GOAT.
Okay, but why do you bring up the record? His record is his record. We're not debating whether he's the greatest of all time or not. You just hurt yourself when you do that. How did he play on Sunday? What was his impact on Sunday? I think it was greater than Greg's was. Let's just stick with the game. He did take every turnover, resulted.
Touchdown.
Thank you. And the Saints got short fields and they had field goals. So, I mean, that was the difference in the game. So Brady doesn't deserve credit for, you know, money on the table. Got to have the play. He makes the play.
No.
Oh, God.
I mean, I told you this yesterday. To me, that's a big one. He did. He got short fields. He also converted every single one of them. Every single one. They didn't settle for three. They got seven. So, you know, to me, that was huge. And
no, my argument is, like, you give Brady credit like he's unusual. Like other quarterbacks, other quarterbacks wouldn't have cashed in. Like, Tom Brady is unique. He's a unicorn because he led scoring drives of 3 yards, 20 yards, and 40 yards. You're saying that you're making it out that nobody else could do that.
No one can win.
That's Brady proving his greatness. It's a bunch of bull crap.
No one wins at his level.
I'm just telling you, Brady does it routinely. That's all. And again, I just added on to the existing body of work. And Greg, listen.
How do you do last year?
Not great.
With a number one defense. No. How do you do?
Oh, come
how do you
on.
Do down
oh,
the stretch?
You really think
those teams
four,
they beat
you really
up
think
five?
That was a number one defense?
He didn't
have a great year last year.
And blame him for underachieving. It's not in a vacuum. You think he's exactly the same every single week and it just depends what's around him? Sometimes, no, he is human. So sometimes he plays better. Sometimes he plays worse. And so we can say that, can't we? And last year, I'll say it again, the last couple of years with New England, he had checked out to some degree. Not like the Kyrie Irving degree. He still showed up-ish and still, you know, was himself-ish, but he wasn't the full Brady, and that's his fault, and he deserves criticism for it. The Patriots should have been better last year. They should not have lost to Miami in Week 17 at home. That was an underachievement, and he was a part of it because he was 1 foot out the door. That's his fault, and that should be on him. But you also can't discount. There seems to be a certain commonality when he gets to this time of year, Greg. He's typically winning. And I'm sorry. Like, that just is what it is. The guy freaking wins. And you can credit everyone else or, you know, look at everything else. But he tends to be the one that's advancing every week this time of year. John in Tewksbury, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, no offense to Bedard, but I can't really take anything that he says seriously. I mean, he's one of those idiots who thought the Patriots were going to go 10-6 and actually made the playoffs just because they had Belichick.
God forbid
yeah,
I had a wrong preseason prediction. Yeah, disregard everything
too,
I said.
You want to talk facts. The fact is, basically, the Patriots suck and the Bucs are in the NFC Championship. So that's basically a fact. And you definitely can't admit that if Brady and the Bucs sucked this year and the Patriots made the playoffs, you would be killing and ripping Brady, saying that he lost and Belichick won. But you'll never admit it because you're one of those Belichick groupies who's in his cult. And you can't, you know, that he doesn't do anything wrong.
Yep.
But again,
I haven't criticized Belichick at all, especially the past couple of years or even this season until, you know, he made this mess. And it was his fault that Brady walked out the door, that I faulted him for not giving him weapons, that I faulted him for not giving him a contract extension after beating the Falcons in the Super Bowl that should have taken him to the end of his career. Yeah, I haven't said any of those things.
But, you know, your commentary hasn't really changed. I was someone who felt they were 10-6 in a division championship because of Belichick. I thought that. I believed that. I was wrong. And Brady's still playing. So you know what? Wow, isn't that interesting? Now my commentary reflects it. That's a complicated formula, Felger, you got there. You mean one guy actually lost and you're saying it?
But
wow.
But couldn't it also be so Bill, isn't it also true? Can't you also say that Belichick might be great, but he screwed up the quarterback thing this
year? Yes, sure.
That's not any indication that it was Brady over Bill. Bill screwed up.
It's Brady over Bill. Time. Oh, yeah. Chapter one, Brady over Bill. Get back to me after next year. You want to change it after next year? Well, you know, we'll reconvene after next year. Today is today. Belichick got absolutely tushed.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the beauty of being the court of public opinion. Like, this was an epic ass kicking is what it was. Epic.
Mess.
And for the record, if Brady had a bad season this year, I would have said it's tough to go. Like I've said many other times with quarterbacks going into new situations, including, you know, Peyton Manning going in, and I think he lost in the divisional round his first year in Denver. I would have said it's tough to go in year one. Like, let's see year two. That'll be more of a indication on where he is.
I would have killed him. So I'm just trying to be fair about it. But at the Belichick cult meeting, Mess.
Yes.
How does that go? How do they bring the subjects to order at the Belichick cult?
bow and take your paddling.
Please come to order. The Almighty has entered.
The Belichick cult.
Yeah, Bedad's in the Belichick cult. He's a Belichickian. He's one of the Belichicklets.
I think Bill would beg to differ, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no question. That guy, he didn't, you know, please.
Oh, they should have been better. This was a big year.
Listen, I made the same mistake. When they got Newton, I thought, ooh. Like, they might be better than I thought. Bill's going to resurrect Newton. Here you go, the whole thing. And instead, they both sucked. And what the big indictment on Bill was, Greg, in all seriousness, aside from the offense, because the quarterback then got screwed up. No two ways about it. End of story. The defense got worse.
And I'm not going to give him the opt-out excuse either. It was their big thing, and we've talked about it over the years, is that Bill just kept choosing age and, you know, no draft and replace. They just got old and slow really fast.
But even within the context of the personnel they had from the beginning of the year to the end, their play got worse, or at the very least, they didn't get better, and they just moved sideways the whole year. And I look at that and say, that's just not, now it's not typical, but that's not a good coaching job.
Okay, let's pick up this conversation after we do 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Bedard's in fine form today. Let's see how he does here. He got the questions at 10:45. Think he'll be ready to go, Stu?
Nope.
Shut up. Here comes the buzzer options. What do we got here, Stu?
The young defenseman. It's like Vakanainen, Lazan, Zobrio.
Close enough. Borel. So the next couple you're going to hear here are from Greg and I's film Zoom session where we bickered at each other for 27 minutes on Zoom watching Josh Allen film. It was a humdinger. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You're saying because he didn't see the fellow there 32 yards down the field, that's a minus play?
Yes.
Drills it. Ah, it's a great play.
Pretty good play.
Unblocked. Got out of there. Incomplete. Good play.
He needs to know this is a free blocker. He's got to get rid of it.
Well, he did get rid of it.
Barely.
27 minutes of this. Go ahead.
Pump fake the guy. Runaway rusher. Pump fake. Buys himself time. That's just a great play.
It's a neutral play.
It's a neutral play, man.
Good ball.
It's a good ball.
Right. We got agreement there.
Who else makes this play? Mahomes. That's it.
Thank you.
Rip Brian Daboll, who's like your new... Binky.
And there were some curse words in there. All right, hit anyone. Go.
The young defenseman, it's like Vakanainen, Lazan, Zobrio.
What stands out to you the most about the Jack Easterby Houston Texans saga?
How suckered in Cal McNair has become with Easterby. I know Cal. I've met him. I've had conversations with him. They're basically making out like he's Spalding Smales. And he's just been taken in by Jack Easterby, and he's just he does whatever Jack wants, and it's just he's not seeing what's going on, and his franchise is just in flames around him, and he just can't see it because Easterby has him in a trance.
A trance is the right word. I'll tell you, there are a lot of stories out there about this if people haven't read them, and both are apparently, you know, men of faith, as they say. And so I'm not mocking this other than to tell you that there's something cultish almost about it. It's scary.
I'm mocking it. He's a creepy, manipulative cockroach who has way too much influence over the Texans owner. And they refer to the Texans owner, Cal McNair, in that piece in Sports Illustrated over the weekend. People in the organization behind his back call him Tommy Boy.
Okay, so more on this coming up. My takeaway is that he moved up the ranks here too now.
Yeah.
Maybe not the level of its reach in Houston, but he had some influence here, too. So he had his hooks into folks in New England as well. Next.
Pump fake the guy. Runaway rusher. Pump fake. Buys himself time. That's just a great play.
It's a neutral play.
Number nine, if you're Deshaun Watson, where should you want to go? Not what team makes the most sense for him to land with, but him personally, where should he want to go, Greg?
San Francisco. I think he'd be plug and play and Super Bowl contender right away.
So I got a bunch on here, but I'm going to give you one from each conference.
Quick.
Indy and New Orleans. Frank Reich, or now that Breeze is gone, go to New Orleans and stay indoors.
I'm with Greg on this. The Niners, you work with Kyle Shanahan, those RPOs, the rollouts. You get to throw to Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. It's a no-brainer.
Okay, then Shanahan has to loosen the reins. That Shanahan tree likes to really control the quarterback and really control where the ball goes. He's got to loosen up if he's going to get Deshaun Watson. Next.
Unblocked. Got out of there. Incomplete. Good play.
He needs to know this is a free blocker. He's got to get rid of it.
Well, he did get rid of it.
Barely.
Number eight, thoughts on Robert Saleh with the Jets. Does he have a chance?
He has a chance, but I'm just down on all defensive head coaches just because offense is such a focal point for owners that as soon as these defensive coaches have an offensive coordinator, 1 year of success, they're gone. I mean, look at Vrabel in Tennessee. He had LaFleur his first year. He just had Arthur Smith for 2 years. Now he's gone to Atlanta. Now he's on his third coordinator. That is no way to bring up young quarterbacks with multiple offensive coordinators. If you can't align it how Belichick did, which is one playbook that is the Patriots playbook and stays with the quarterback throughout his career, you're going to get screwed up and you're never going to have sustained success.
Your question was, does Robert Saleh have a chance? Nope.
Murray?
I think maybe he's high energy, can probably command a room. He's not Adam Gase, but I don't know. They're sticking with Darnold, it looks like. It's still the Jets where failure's baked in, so he'll probably be out in like 2 or 3 years.
No, Sean, you go to New York, you get dumber.
Next.
Ding. You're saying because he didn't see the fellow there 32 yards down the field, that's a minus play?
Yes.
Number seven, if you're the Ravens, Greg, where do you go from here?
Greg Roman needs to come in with a plan to make the passing offense better, or I'm looking for a new offensive coordinator.
You got to ride it out with Jackson. got to ride it out. I mean, they're hard to find. You go 10-6 with them in the regular season. You know, until you find something better, keep going.
Yeah, get Lamar Jackson to work on his throwing mechanics and get him a real number one wide receiver because Hollywood Brown ain't it.
Next.
Ding.
Ding.
Yeah. Rip Brian Daboll, who's like your new binky.
Number six, Greg, how do you feel about Sean McDermott recently, the Bills coach?
Not great. Sean McDermott used to be one of my favorite coaches in the league. He was one of these just CEO, very stoic on the sideline, knew what he was doing, was totally in control. Now, after every play, he's complaining, he's spotting balls on the sideline, he's pumping up the crowd like he's a creeping tool baggery going on.
So he's good. I'm not sure he's great, but he's good. I'll tell you what I will give him credit for. Defensive guy went in there. They immediately played good defense. They found a quarterback. He went and got weapons and got himself an offensive coordinator to run it. He knows what he doesn't know.
In the conversation, I think, for top five coaches in the league, maybe top three, and he knows Goff ain't the answer, and he's trying to divorce from him. I love it.
Excuse me?
Him and Goff are
McDermott,
like,
not McVay.
I said Sean McDermott.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's okay. Next.
Unblocked. Got out of there. Incomplete. Good play.
He needs to know this is a free blocker. He's got to get rid of it.
Well, he did get rid of it.
Barely.
Number five, who was the biggest tool bag of the divisional round?
Arians, for all the lips flapping he's doing right now about how Tom Brady, they couldn't have done anything without him, and about how his program's great, all this stuff. I'm tired of hearing about Bruce Arians.
I second that, except for a different reason. That stupid wristband play sheet. Seriously, a coach that wears the play sheet as a wristband, tool bag, tool box.
Baby Patriots fans who still won't root for Brady. That's who the biggest tool bags are.
Easy. There's also a Tony Romo mention. He belongs in there.
Oh, good one.
Somewhere. Yeah. Next.
The young defenseman, it's like Vakanainen, Lazan, Zobril.
That's not fair. I can't pronounce anyone's name.
I so love real. That one.
Number four, is Baker Mayfield a franchise quarterback, Greg? Is he elite?
No. I think that he is. He can be a good starter for you. You can win with him. He's going to need this Shanahan style of offense to be successful. I do not consider him elite, and I do not consider him irreplaceable.
Is he a franchise quarterback? Yes. Is he elite? No.
Yes, on the franchise part, but no on the elite as well. He just feels inconsistent and a bad pick waiting to happen.
Well, then wait a minute. He shouldn't be a franchise quarterback.
Well, so I know you meant him as one question. I actually think there's a line there.
Really?
Yeah, I do. In other words, you know, you have yourself a good starter. He can win a lot of games for you. Do you keep him?
Yeah, by the Felger standard, he is.
Well, yes, you keep, like, again, I would tell you that there were a lot of guys that I don't love that I would say, well, you know, he gets your winning season in the league, you keep him.
Murray's saying I like bad quarterbacks. I do. I do have a little bit of a hankering for bad quarterbacks. But if you have a franchise quarterback who's not elite, aren't you kind of in trouble?
Well, maybe, except that how do you get that elite guy? You follow me? In other words, so you got to keep the franchise. You know, I say the franchise guy. You got to keep a good quarterback, even if he's not quite championship caliber, because what are your options?
All right, bigger conversation. Next.
Who else makes this play? Mahomes. That's it.
Do you think Urban Meyer, Greg, works in the NFL? And if not, why not?
I do. I think he's going to have short-term success. I don't know what his ceiling is, but there's too much working for them there in terms of, you know, Lawrence and the draft picks and
him. Tell me about
salary
him.
Cap
do,
space.
Do you I mean, like if, him as a coach?
I tell you the truth, I don't know a ton about him. I mean, I grew up a Florida Gators fan, so I know him from that time, but I still tag him with the Urban Meyer stuff from the way he left Florida, the way he left Ohio State. But I think he's a culture guy. He establishes a culture. He knows how to command a room. Everybody is going to know who's boss. And I think he's flexible enough, as opposed to, say, Saban when he's with the Dolphins, to make it work in a pro environment.
No, I don't think it's going to work. I don't. Again, these guys who come out, the college to the pro game, and I know it's closer now than it's ever been. I don't think it's all about the X's and O's and the style of play. I think it's about the coach's power versus the, you know, the players in the league and whether or not they have any cred themselves. I think that's a big change.
And I say no because he's never even worked as an assistant or position coach in the NFL. And I think that matters. If you look at someone like Chip Kelly, who goes straight from college to the league without any big league experience, you eventually get exposed.
I'm really interested to see it. I'd like to see him succeed. I might see some coaches that can just coach. no matter what the level, what the age. There's so few have done it. I'd like to see him do it. Next.
Drills it. Ah, it's a great play.
Pretty good play.
Number two, rank the quarterbacks this century and stop when you get to Drew Brees. Where does he rank in this generation of quarterbacks?
Brady, Manning, Favre, and Brees.
Okay, so, okay, I hate your list.
Brady, Manning, Rodgers.
Well, but hang on. You said the century.
The
so
century.
That's the 2000s.
Yes.
Like I.
Right, since 2000.
Yeah, so I just exclude Mahomes and guys like that.
So I don't. I exclude Favre because he was at his best in the 90s. But go ahead, Miss.
I had Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Wilson, Roethlisberger, Brees.
I go Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Wilson, Mahomes, Roethlisberger, then Brees.
Okay, and I'm with Murray's list, except I put Eli in front of him, too.
Huh?
Eli Manning or Drew Brees?
Brees.
Oh, Eli. Eli was nails in the playoffs.
Eli.
Brees.
I go Eli there. Brees or Rivers?
Brees.
Okay. So I went Brady, Manning, Mahomes. I'm sorry. Mahomes has already done more than Drew Brees. This in 3 years did more than Brees did in 20. Mahomes is ahead of him. If the asteroid hit today, Mahomes would rank ahead of Drew Brees. Brady, Manning, Mahomes, Rodgers fourth, Wilson fifth, Roethlisberger, Eli, Brees, Rivers. I have him eighth. Next.
Unblocked. Got out of there. Incomplete. Good play.
He needs to know this is a free blocker. He's got to get rid of it.
Well, he did get rid of it.
Barely.
27 minutes of bickering like that. Again, 27 minutes of it. Final question. Are we going to...
gold. People enjoyed it.
Are we going to miss the... How'd it do? Did you get some clicks?
Yeah, it did well.
Yeah. Meaning no. Okay. Last question. Are we going to miss...
I haven't looked.
Are we going to miss going to the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Given what it's going to be... No, but normally, yes.
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 Warm weather, the beach. I could go on my buddy's boat. We could golf. I love that week. Super Tuesday.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes, of course.
Not this year. You're not getting Super Tuesday this year.
We'd find a way.
We'd make it. We'd make it happen, buddy boy. We'd go out to the pool.
Go to Providence.
Yeah, we'd figure.
I got people in Tampa.
Providence. We'd be in Tampa. But either way. Yes, of course. Yes, I'm going to miss it, Murray.
Drink at the pool. I like that.
Exactly. Yes. We're not going to go to some club, but we'll, you know, see at the pool, go in the hot tub or smoke.
I'm sorry.
I just think you guys should have Super Tuesday in like a Providence or a Fall River or something more local.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that is actually not a bad idea.
Let's go to Everett.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it.
There you go.
I'm going to miss Super Bowl week. I've been to like 20 of the last 21 Super Bowls or something like this.
Okay, Buck.
No, I'm sorry. All right, that was a good one. I'm going to miss it. Here's an update from Murray, and we're back with you.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
Felger, Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger, Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your calls here on everything. Obviously, Patriot-centric. Bedard, a little obstinate on the Belichick-Brady thing and how this looks for the Patriots and all of that. So you can talk to him about that if you want. Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
A little.
Belichick and Joe Judge were sharing some s'mores last night in Jackson Hole. Meanwhile, AARP 7-9, Bill Belichick was at home on a geezer treadmill. Listen, both of these things happened, but my point is Steve is 33. Sean McVay is 34. Zach Taylor, the Bengals, got his job at 35. Brandon Staley got his job at 38 last week. Is Josh headed to Philadelphia more concerning because it confirms that the little brat is the next in line as part of a succession plan and times that plan at 2 to 3 years? Or is Steve not getting interviews more indicative of what the rest of the league knows, which is he's a trust fund baby fraud?
Okay, a lot there, as usual. Give me your take on the coaching situation. Do you think McDaniels is gone, Greg?
I do not. Not necessarily. I mean, he could get the Eagles job. I don't think anything is imminent. I think there have been some sort of reports that have made it seem like that. And I know there are reports of saying that the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, has to be sold on McDaniels. I don't think that's what it is. I think that McDaniels is probably vetting that situation as well. There's a lot of moving parts there. I don't know if that's a situation that he ultimately thinks can be successful when you look at the quarterback situation, the cap situation, an aging roster. Also that, you know, what is Howie Roseman's role? I mean, I know Howie. I think Howie's very smart, but he looms over everything there. And how is that going to go? When Chip Kelly came in, Howie Roseman got kicked upstairs, and then suddenly he was back and even more powerful when Chip Kelly got fired. So I think there are a lot of moving parts in Philadelphia, and I think there's a lot to vet on both sides.
Greg, if the Eagles offer McDaniels the job, doesn't he have to take it?
Just going to ask that. Can he afford to turn down another job?
That's the other side of the coin. I'm glad you guys brought it up because I was going to, but I forgot. If you're McDaniels, you look at it and you look at, okay, well, I probably wanted the Chargers job or the Jaguars job, and I didn't get an interview for either one. Do I know what the plan is for the Patriots at quarterback or wide receiver? Look what Bill has stuck me with the past couple of years. Is this a place where I'm going to be successful? Am I going to get another opportunity in the next year or two? Or am I just going to stay and wait and hope that I succeed Bill? There is no succession plan, no matter how anybody wants to make it out. That's all valid. I mean, I think McDaniels has to think of that stuff also, and it's a tug and pull on both sides.
I also think just based on the Indy thing, I mean, after taking the job with Indy and backing out, now the Eagles offer him the job. He goes on the interview.
Says, I'm interested.
Right. They offer him the job, and he says, no thanks. Like, I think that they look at him and say, you're just a tease, pal. I'm not sure he'd ever get another interview.
Greg, if he goes, what's the succession plan here at that spot?
It's a great question. I do think that Adam Gase is still out there and an option, and I know you guys think it's a joke, but in NFL circles, as just an offensive coordinator / quarterbacks guy, Adam Gase is held in really high regard, and I think the film backs that up. Maybe the stats don't, and people will say, oh, look at this, look at that.
No, that's fine. He might just be a coordinator. That's fine.
Yeah, I think Belichick feels that same way. I think Belichick has a lot of respect on how hard his teams have had to defend the past few years, whether it's the Dolphins or the Jets. I also think that guys like Chad O'Shea, who was O'Brien's offensive coordinator in Houston, former assistant here, is with the Dolphins. I think he's an option. That's George Godsey. Chad O'Shea is in Cleveland, another former assistant here. Apparently, internally, I think that Nick Cayley, the young, I think he's coaching tight ends now, coach, I think he is popular in the building. I don't know if he's ready for that, but maybe some sort of apprenticeship type of thing.
Let me tell you
but
something.
I think that's where they are.
Okay. Hardy, or these guys were mentioned in the midday a little bit, Matt Patricia coming back, even on offense, which I don't know about on offense.
What?
Yeah, Zoe mentioned it.
Yeah, something's over.
I'd take him on defense.
Zoe mentioned it. Okay, so off maybe switching over to offense, Matt Patricia.
Can I
say one thing? Patricia and Adam Gase would have a great chance to come here. And you know why? And you're leaving out sort of the key piece here.
Because they're both a-holes?
Nope.
What?
I believe
they're getting paid.
They're getting paid somewhere else, and that's a Bill Belichick special. Why do you think all these Bobos are here? Brett Bielema's here while he's getting paid by Arkansas, and Lombardi's here while he's getting paid by wherever the hell he was getting paid by, because they pay Bill $25 million a year. There's nothing left in the budget for coaches or scouts, so if you are getting paid somewhere else, you're in, because they get you for free. So absolutely, look at Gase. He was fired, right? He's still under contract.
Yes,
So there's offset language there, probably. There's offset on Patricia. Look at the offset guys. Those are the guys who are first in line.
There's got to be
the
another
old consultant role,
right,
where they can still draw the salary. They don't have the title here. But one thing I did want to mention, if Patricia comes back and is the defensive coordinator, and he would be, whether he had the title or not, that would free Belichick up to go more to the offensive side and help along, say, a Nick Cayley type of guy.
Yeah, which Belichick? Does he have another offspring he can make an offensive coordinator?
I don't want Patricia. I think he sucked. I thought he got better when he left, when it was,
Mayo.
Flo.
Flores.
Flores.
Oh, they were better under Flores. Well,
they're much more aggressive, did much more different kind of stuff. I thought Patricia was too conservative or too predictable. I don't know. I don't like the guy all the way around. I think he's a hot mess who needs to get a grip on himself. Needs to look at himself in the mirror for a second and get a grip on yourself. And, oh, by the way, wasn't that great of a coordinator? Is there a douche on top of it all? I got no use for that guy, even if he is free. I wouldn't take him if he's free. We'll wrap it up with Greg Bedard right after this. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down, you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Congrats on the win. The current forecast for Green Bay next Sunday, 24 degrees and snow. You've played in some snow games in your past. A lot of Buccaneer players have not, probably. How do you prepare for that type of condition when you can't simulate that down here in Tampa during the week of practice?
You just got to have some mental toughness and wear some warm clothes and be ready to go. So there's it's chilly, man. That's January football in Northeast, Midwest. And we'll be prepared. You know, the team that plays the best is going to win, not the team that is the coldest. Or, you know, we're going to have to go out there and play well. And we're going to be challenged, and it's going to be a great game.
All right, weather will be a factor this Sunday as a Packer fan. Greg Bedard, give me your thoughts on this upcoming matchup. What are you looking at?
Just hearing that question. I can't wait till the Bucs go up there and win this game, and we hear about how Tom Brady drove the plane, packed foot warmers for everybody. You know, it laid out all the equipment to make sure that the Bucs could win. I mean, they couldn't have done that.
Greg, but wait, now you're being snarky. But listen, you don't think Brady's history and success in bad weather is a real factor in this game?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll determine the game. Yes.
Oh, you are being such a pud today. It's unbelievable. As opposed to a quarterback that's not used to playing in the bad weather and succeeding in the bad weather, you think all those things are equal, non-factor?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is like doing the thing again.
I'm telling you, I am so rooting for the snow in this game. Like, I just think that this could has a chance to be.
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to start that, I mean, that is football. Is there
can
a
we
more?
Can we just stay on the field and just judge Brady for what he does and not give him all this credit for a bunch of nonsense that you can't measure in any way?
Correct.
Like this past weekend, you know, what Tom Brady did. I mean, come on. Let's just stay on the field. If he plays well, he plays well. Let's just leave it there.
No.
You know, did he win the game on this weekend? No, he didn't. The defense did. Fournette did. The Drew Brees, the turnovers, that won the game. Let's just stay there. Stay on the field, please.
No, when I say correct, I mean correct that the stuff you can't measure is important, Greg. It's important with Brady. It was important here for 20 years. But the buy-in factor is huge.
But being able to play in bad weather is a tangible, real factor.
Of course it is.
That's not some intangible, Greg. That's an important factor. If you're getting a quarterback that played all season in a dome or had never played in bad weather or just isn't, there were guys who played horrible in bad weather. Kurt Warner couldn't play in bad weather. There's guys who can't, who struggle with it. And if you had that unknown with Tampa versus Tom Brady, who has been balls, who's been awesome in bad weather, you think that's not that makes no difference?
No, it makes some difference. It's not going to make the difference on whether the Bucs win or lose on Sunday.
Oh, it's a factor. It's a factor.
Anyways, can we get on with the game?
I think they can both play in bad weather. I think Rodgers can play in bad weather, too.
Of course he can. But normally that would be the advantage. You'd say our quarterback can play in that, and the other guy can't. Now it's Brady's as good as anyone who's ever played in those conditions.
This is why I want the snow. I think it has a chance to be an all-timer. Those two guys in the snow.
I was just going to say, if you're a sports fan, there is no sport visual greater and more boner-inducing than Lambeau Field in the snow.
With Brady and Rodgers playing quarterback.
Come on, that is fun. All right, Greg, give me your exit. Tell me about the Packers guard versus the Buccaneers defensive tackle. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's
so
the
you
matchup?
You requested that I actually sit and watch some film before coming on today. So I did. And here's my issue with this game.
Tell me about the trenches.
Go.
Shut up, both of you, and let me talk. So my problem with the Packers is that I have a tough time finding comparisons in terms of offenses that they played that are like the Bucs with as many weapons that they have. I mean, really, you go through it, and they haven't played an offensively potent team since the Bucs. And really, I mean, the Packers haven't had to defend a team since the Bucs. So I have a tough time seeing on film evidence to say, okay, well, they're going to stop them or they're not going to stop them. I just don't think there's that much evidence. And so I like the Bucs in this spot with their offense because I don't think the Packers have seen this. I mean, you know, they played down the stretch. They played the Jaguars. The Colts, I guess you could somewhat make an argument.
Yeah, and how much did they give
the
up?
Bears,
they gave up 30-something.
The Eagles, the Lions, the Panthers, the Titans, and the Bears. Like, they haven't had to defend a real passing game in weeks. So are they going to be ready for that? As far as Pettine versus Brady, yes, there's a history. Normally, Pettine pressures a lot more if he has faith in his cornerbacks. The way I see them playing on film, he doesn't have a whole lot of faith. They do play a lot of off coverage, but the Bucs in that first matchup were not really able to take advantage of it all that much. Really, it came down to turnovers and things like that. So I don't know. I think that Brady and the offense have an advantage on the Packers. You know, the other side, I think Rodgers is going to make some plays. I think it's going to come down to which quarterback is protected better in this game.
So I think you're getting two terrific games, and this one in particular is, you know, to me, they're both going to score.
You mean the Packers and the Bucs?
Yes.
So I just don't think Pettine, Greg, is a game plan specific kind of guy. Like, I don't consider him a brainiac. You know, I don't think. He doesn't come across to me as a guy that, you know, breaks it all down and then devises a specific game plan to take advantage of a specific weakness, and we're going to exploit this. LaFleur does it on offense, and he does it really well. Like, I think he's a really good offensive schemer. He picks out weaknesses and exploits them, and I can really see that on that side of the ball. Defensively, I think they're just kind of doing what they do, and Brady kills those teams. And that scares me as a Packers fan.
Mike, I don't know if I agree with that. I do think it comes from the head coach on down. So, say Mike Pettine with the Jets, where they had to play great defense with Mark Sanchez and whatever on
but
offense.
That was Rex, right? But go ahead.
But they had to be very aggressive on defense. I think LaFleur might tell Pettine, like, look, just don't give up any big plays. Let them throw underneath all day. I don't really care. We're going to score enough points. Just hold them at bay. Don't give up big plays and we can win. That's what I see on film.
I wonder about that too. I was saying that yesterday that when you have a quarterback like Rodgers, you can play it differently.
I hate that game plan because Brady will go 8 for 9 down the field and be patient and take the easy money. He's one of the guys that will do it. And that's just that you sort of play into his hands because he can be patient with the best of them, best of all time at doing that thing. No, to me, I got to get to him. I've got to get him off of his rhythm. I've got to get pressure up the middle, get a shot on him, spin the dial, as you would say, Greg, give him different things to think about, different things to look at. That's how you beat him. You don't lay back and let him complete 8 of 9 down the field.
Pettine does that in the first matchup, and yes, the Bucs won going away, but it was just a bad game for the Packers. Just everything went wrong after Rodgers did that stupid celebration with his hip thrust or whatever.
Yep.
Pettine, basically, in that game, he put everything on the different pressures up front, and they actually did a really good job against the Bucs. They played more conservative in the back end, but they mixed things up with their pressures. Pettine knows Brady as well as anybody. He knows how to pressure him. It's just a question of whether it gets home or not, and it's going to the Bucs offensive line is playing great. The Packers don't have Bakhtiari. I think those are going to be big factors.
Okay. If I go out there and say I can just see it coming, I said it yesterday, if I watch all afternoon, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and these guys rushing up the outside and the, you know, these blitzes and the corners coming from the outside all game, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. Like, how often have you played this guy? And you know that it just the edge pressure does not work against Brady. You don't get home there. You have to come up the middle and get him off his spot. So let's see. Let's see how they approach it. I guararantee you. I can feel it coming. He's not going
to
do the right
thing. Well, I would tell you to prep for it because I think there's a good shot that that's what's going to happen.
It's another AFC East rockhead, as I said yesterday. Anyway, Greg, you were particularly painful today. I just want to say that, you know, in closing. I don't know what crawled
now,
up
your... Now you know what it's like to deal with you every day.
I am flexible. I am someone
Oh,
that,
you are.
I am. When the game's over and the scoreboard reads a certain thing, I give it up. If I lose, I lose. Unlike you.
A taste of your own medicine there, Mr. Felger.
No, I usually don't have something crawl up my ass like you have recently. Oh. No.
Yeah, oh, we should discuss that later.
Yeah, uh-huh. Ask Mass.
Greg, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
See you, big boy.
See you guys.
Bye, Greg.
So listen, coming up next, I want to tell you why Greg says he's above the Belichick-Brady thing, and this really doesn't say anything about it. And I'm going to tell him why he's wrong and why it's really, why this really hits home for the Patriots, why it's really bad for the Patriots. I'll tell you that in 90 seconds right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.